If you turn with me now, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and reading from verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 18, reading from verse 10, where we read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." We are all familiar with the concept of a safe place. Perhaps some of you here remember what it was like in the Second World War when you would hear the sirens going and you would run to the bomb shelter. There was a place that you knew you had to go to and you had to get to quickly. You knew where it was and you knew how to get there. Those who work and the children at school, I'm sure, also are familiar with similar places of safety. When you hear the fire alarm, when you hear the tornado warning or something like that, there is a place you know that you are to go to, a safe place. Sometimes it's by the stairs, a place where there's no window, but there's a safe place, a place you need to get to, and a place you need to know how to get to. And that's why you have, isn't it, fire drills, so that if there is a real fire, you will know how to get there and how to get there quickly. Well, this morning we want to draw your attention to a safe place like no other. A place where you can go, a place where you must go, and a place where you must go often. We, as we heard last night, we live in a dangerous world. A world where there are increasing fears. Fears of economic collapse, fears of terror, fears of the removal of civil and religious liberty in the case of some, fears of natural disasters or global warming. There's an increasing climate of fear. Perhaps at a more personal level, there may be fears of unemployment, fears that cause anxiety, fears of family difficulty, relational difficulty, fears of illness, fears about health, fears about cancer, fears about loneliness. And then there's, of course, there are spiritual fears and dangers to which we are exposed. There is the great danger of sin and the danger of temptation from within, from without, from Satan. There's the temptation and the danger of worldliness. There's the danger of lukewarm Christianity. There's the danger that subconsciously or unconsciously in our thoughts and in our behavior, in our speech, in our actions, we start to become more and more like the world in which we are living, in our thinking, in our dress, in our speech, in our behavior, in our career choices, in our vocations, and so on. We live in a dangerous world. We're also exposed to the danger of Satan, the wicked one, the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour, the father of lies, the murderer from the beginning. And of course, we are all in danger of, and perhaps in fear of death. And death is the last enemy, isn't it? And that death is the greatest danger for a Christless soul. Any soul here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, this beyond all question is your greatest danger. The danger of going into eternity without Christ, with your sins clinging to you, is beyond all question the greatest danger to which you are imminently exposed. So as we again come to the beginning of a new year and the beginning of 2016 and to when we consider all these and no doubt many more dangers and perhaps fears that you have even this morning, we want to draw your attention this new year to our only safe place, our only place of safety. And my desire for you today is that you would know the great safe place to go as you begin 2016. And that you would go there, and that you would go there often, and yes, that you would abide in this safe place. And if you have never been in this safe place, then our prayer and our desire for you at the beginning of this new year is that you would enter today into this safe place in this difficult and perilous world. Our text tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And quite simply, we want to see what is the safe place, the only safe place, and secondly, how do we get there? What it is and how we get there. Well, what is the only safe place? You notice I use the word only safe place, and that's because there are many other places that people go to that they think is safe. You notice the next verse, which really should be taken together with this one, tells us that the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and it's like a high wall in his own conceit, in his own imagination. And what Solomon is telling us here is that the people are placing their hopes and their security in their wealth, in the things they possess. And that can be almost anything. It can be their jobs, their money, their homes, their investment, their business plans, their retirement plans, their 401ks, their intellect, their popularity, their social status, you name it. They are putting such hope and value upon these things that these things actually become their life, and these things begin to give them a sense of security, that everything is going to be okay with me because of these things that I possess. It's not that these things in themselves are wrong, don't misunderstand. It's that they become wrong when it's no longer that we have them, but that they have us. And what Solomon is saying is that these are not safe places. They're not safe places for the storms of life, and they're certainly not safe places when we come to view the spiritual and the eternal realities and the dangers of the spiritual and the eternal to which we are exposed. They are safe places, Solomon says, only in the imagination, only in the conceit of the person. You can lose all these things, Solomon is saying. They're all things that can be lost. Your riches, your job, your investment, yes, your retirement fund, your home, your family, your health, your relationships. Just like Job, you remember Job in the Old Testament. He had, as it were, all these things. And Satan said, you put a hedge around Job, but take these things away and he'll have nothing left. And Job did lose, didn't he? He lost, humanly speaking, everything, humanly speaking. And while, you see, we may lose these things in time, we certainly will lose these other things when we come to die, won't we? Remember what Paul said, we carried nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. What good will these things do when we come to die? You remember the rich man. He built barns. He had all the supplies and he built barns. Well, there was nothing wrong with building barns. His problem, though, was his attitude. His problem was that he was saying to his soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Here's his security, you see. And the Lord was saying to him, this night thy soul will be required of thee. But you see, over against all these flimsy things, here is a real place of safety for time and for eternity. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is everything whereby the Lord makes himself known. And really, it's the Lord Himself. The name of the Lord is the Lord. And what the Word of God is telling us this morning is that that name is a strong tower. It's a place of safety. The strong tower in ancient times was a tower that was high up in the city, inside the city walls, so that if an enemy from outside would get up over the walls of the city, people would run to this strong tower, often high up in the center of the city, and it was a safe place to go. It was the most fortified place in the whole city. And what we're told here is that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord has made it. What a cheer, what a comfort this beginning of a new year to see this place of total safety. The name of the Lord, and the Lord is making Himself known in the gospel as a safe place for you, for sinners. Now, there are many ways we could illustrate this safe place, or we could say how the Lord makes Himself known as a safe place. We're going to try to summarize it in five ways. Firstly, that the Lord has made Himself known as a strong tower in the covenant of grace. He's made Himself known as a strong tower in the covenant of grace. You notice that the word Lord here is in capitals. You know that means it's referring to Jehovah, and Jehovah is the covenant name of the Lord. And God then is making Himself known as the covenant God of His people. He's saying, I have bound myself, yes, sovereignly, but nevertheless, I have bound myself in covenant. I have sworn by myself. I have sworn an oath to David, to my people. And I will not lie. I have covenanted. And when God covenants, He will never, never break that covenant. He has covenanted that He, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, infinite, eternal, as we heard last night, unchangeable, is for His people in covenant. What a refuge! What a strong tower! Infinity, eternality, unchangeability for the sinner in Christ. What, my dear friend, is stronger than infinite strength? What is longer than eternal security? What is more stable than unchangeable purpose? God is saying, all that I am, I engage to be for you in the covenant of grace. Do you see how strong this tower is? The name of the Lord is a strong tower in the covenant that He has made. Secondly, the Lord has made Himself known as a strong tower in His names. Oh, how many names has He given to us? Names that stand like huge, impregnable walls that garrison God's people, that guard His people, that come around His people. We considered several of these in relation to Christ's incarnation recently. Emmanuel, there is a wall that garrisons the people of God. God with us. And His name, we go on to read in Isaiah, shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And you're saying, but I lack wisdom, but His name is Wonderful Counselor. You say, but I lack strength, I lack power, I don't have the ability. But His name is the Mighty God. You say, but I feel lonely, I feel like I lack provision and care. But His name is Everlasting Father. But my life is in turmoil. It's upside down. It's inside out. I'm like a man on the sea going up and down and up and down and in and out. But His name is the Prince of Peace. Oh, but my sin comes up against me. And it's here again in 2016. And my coldness, my unbelief, my sin. But His name is Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. You see all these names, and we could multiply these names. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There is none before and none after, as we heard. He is the Rose of Sharon. He can perfume your 2016. He can give it a fragrance, and He can give it a life, and He can give it a beauty. He is the Lily of the Valley. His name, oh, His beautiful name. And He makes known, doesn't He, the name of His Father. Oh, what a beautiful name for you to run into. My Father. He's making this known. He's saying, I have manifested Thy name, the name of the Father. I have manifested it to my people. What a beautiful name He is making known to you as a strong tower. Making known the Father's love for sinners. Making known the Father's adopting love. His willingness to adopt sinners, to bring them into His family. Making known His affection for His children. Making known His care for His children. Making known the Father's heart for His people. Making known the Father's presence for the lonely. Making known the Father's patience for the slow, making known the Father's discipline for the wayward, making known the Father's name, saying, My Father, Your Father. What an impregnable fortress this is, to know this name of the Father. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Strong in the covenant of grace, strong in the names. It's also strong in all the attributes of God. All the attributes of God. God has made Himself known as a strong tower in His mercy, in His love, in His grace, in the gospel. These are like gigantic walls garrisoning the people of God in difficult, perilous times. But let us not think that it's just mercy, love, and grace that garrison God's people. It's all the attributes of God. It's His truth. It's His wisdom. It's His power. It's His justice. It's His holiness. Yes. All His attributes are for the sinner in Christ. What safety? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So in the covenant of grace, in His names, in His attributes, in His providence. In providence. What is God's providence? God's providence, the Shorter Catechism says, is His most holy, wise, and powerful, governing and preserving all His creatures and all their actions from the highest, most sublime galaxy that the Hubble telescope has not yet reached, all the way to the minutest molecules and atoms and blood cells in your own body. God knows exactly what is going on. He understands it perfectly. There is no maverick molecule. There is no stray molecule or atom that has gone awry or outside of His control. He sees it all. He understands it all. He holds it all together. He uses it. He uses everything to work together for your good in Christ. All things work together for good. All things that happen in the life of the believer, in the life of the person who runs into this strong tower, all things are suffused with infinite wisdom. All things in the tapestry of your life, the dark and the golden threads woven together, are woven with the needles of covenant love. So often mysterious, so often we don't understand, so often we would do it so differently, and it's so utterly impossible for us to understand how this can be for my good. But here's my comfort, here's my hope, that even these things are part of the wisdom, mercy, goodness, covenant love that have been given by God, and whatever I need in providence, whatever I need, that same love, that same wisdom, that same goodness, that same fullness, that same covenant love will supply. He won't leave you as an orphan. He won't. He said it. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And so I look at providence, I look at it in all the mystery, I don't understand it all, but I look at it and I say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And then lastly, the Lord has made himself known as a strong tower supremely in Jesus Christ. What an encouragement for you, sinner, here, this first day of the new year. Jesus Christ is the place. The name of the Lord is most fully known. Look at who he is as God. He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. But now look at him as man, as we have tried to consider real humanity. Look at what he did. Look at why he came. Look at how he came. Look at the desire that is in his heart. And see in that the name of the Lord. See in that the purposes of God. See what he is all about. Look at him as he is born in a low condition. As he takes humanity into union with his divine person. As he is born in a stable. As he lives a perfect life, as he goes about doing good, look at him. Look at him as he goes about doing good. Look at him as he dies the just for the unjust. Look at him as he provides an everlasting righteousness and salvation for his people, saying, I have loved them with an everlasting love. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Look at him as he rises again by the power of an endless life. Look at him as he ascends to the glory that was promised to him, and as he goes and as he sits on the throne of the universe. And even there, look at him there. Look at what he is saying. He is saying, he is promising, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not leave you an orphan. I will pray for you. You have been graven upon the heart of my heart and on the palms of my hands. I'm not forgetting you now. I'm going to come again. I've sent my Holy Spirit to live and to abide and to mansion in my people. And I am preparing a mansion in the heavens for you. And I'm going to come again. And I'm going to take you to be with me. I'm going to say to the graves, oh death, I will be your plague. Grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance will be hidden from my eyes. I will destroy death. I will say, rise, you that dwell in the dust. Rise. I will come again. I will take you to be where I am, that where I am, there you might be also. The name of the Lord in Christ is a strong, strong tower. Look at how he attaches himself to his people. He is the Savior to the people. He is the head to the body. He is the husband to the bride. He is the good shepherd to the sheep. Samuel Rutherford said, if you take Christ out of heaven, it would be the direful land of death to me. But can we not say reverently that Christ would say, you take my people out of heaven, and it would be like the direful land of death to me? He is the husband to his bride. He is the Savior to his people. Look at Jesus Christ, dear friend, here this morning. Look at him. Look at what he did, look at why he came, and see the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Is safe. Do you see the safety? Do you see the protection? Do you see the security? Do you see the walls? Satan can't get at you here. His arrows can't fly. His flimsy arrows can't fly above. His God's justice, his darts can't penetrate the walls of his mercy. His lies can't undermine the strong foundation of infinite truth. And he can't lay siege to infinite supply. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the Lord's people are never in trouble. But what it means is that what really matters, in terms of what really matters, they are safe. They're in the strong tower. And you see, when the believer is in the strong tower, when he's exercising faith, and the word for safe is actually lifted up. You may see that in your margins. He is lifted up. It's like he gets to the top of the strong tower. And what a perspective that gives him at the top of the strong tower. The problem down below is that you become so engrossed. And you can do that even in the strong tower. The Christian can, as it were, become absorbed in what's down there and see the fear and the danger of the immediate, the circumstances of the immediate, and then you start looking at terror and economic collapse and global warming. But by faith, the person on the strong tower, what a perspective, what a vista, what a view you get from the strong tower when lifted up. And on a clear day, when faith is strong, when the clouds of unbelief begin to remove, you look out onto a clear horizon, and the horizon is eternity stretching out before you. And what a view and what a perspective you see by faith, as it were. You get a glimpse of the land of Beulah, the land of heaven, heaven's joy and heaven's glory. And it's as though the sound waves of the ransomed throng are heard by you, and you can hear the angelic song, and you can hear the singing of just men made perfect as you look out and on a clear day get a glimpse of the King and his beauty. What a perspective, what a perspective. It's as though you can hear the angels singing, all things are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is lifted up, is safe. Well, just briefly, that's the place of safety, but how do we get into this place? Children, you need to know how to get here. You need to know how to get here. Young men, young women, you need to know how to get here. Seniors, you need to know how to get here. All in between. We all need to know where this is. We've heard where it is now. How do we get there? Our text tells us the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Runs. This is one of the many descriptions for faith. Believing, trusting, resting, looking, hoping, calling, crying, desiring, running. The righteous run in and is safe. A man who is running is not weighed down with stuff. You don't see a man fleeing from an enemy carrying great possessions on his back. No, he's throwing away every weight, and he's not dragging his feet. He's running. He runs by taking hold of God by faith, by taking hold of God's attributes, of his power, of his wisdom, of whatever attribute seems to fit my case. He's laying hold of it by faith. His promises, he's laying hold of them. He's laying hold of Jesus Christ, his Son, ultimately. And he runs in by prayer. It's the cry of the soul to God. O time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Sometimes you're running with nothing more than a cry, just the feeblest cry Godward. But the feeblest cry Godward takes you into the city. It takes you into the strong tower. My dear friend, you are but a cry away. A cry Godward away from this strong tower. It's the wicked who in the pride of his face will not call upon God. But see how accessible this tower is for poor sinners. They run into it. They don't just run to it. They run into it. The door is open. There's nothing that bars their access. They run into it. There's no border crossing, there's no signing of documents, there's no questionnaires to fill out first. The righteous runneth into it. It speaks of the willingness of God to receive, and maybe you're here and you're saying, but my sin bars me, my coldness, my unbelief, my hardness, and all that belongs to me. Well, okay. And you say, yeah, but the righteous run into it, and you're right. It's the righteous that are said here to run into it. But let me tell you, the people who first run into the strong tower do not run in because they are righteous. You know the answer to your catechism. How art thou righteous before God? Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ. Now notice these words. So that not only to others, but to me also. Everlasting righteousness and salvation are what? Given by God to those who are righteous? No. Are freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Christ's merits have opened the door. And you, all you do is you run in. All you do is you run in. And here's a name to run into. Here's the name that sinners run into first. The name of the Lord is the Lord God Merciful. Can you run into that? Gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy, covenant mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Can you run into that? Do you need your sins forgiven? Forgiving iniquity, that's the name. Run into it. The gates of this tower are barred shut against the enemy, but they are flung open in the gospel to sinners running in. If we would only believe, we'd be there in a moment. So, now you know where to go and how to get there. You run into it by faith. So for every danger or difficulty, learn and learn well the way to this strong tower. Run in. Run here often. Learn to run here first, not last. When you don't know which college to attend, which career option to take, which job offer, which ministry to pursue, which charity to donate to, first run to the wisdom of God. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. It's a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. When you feel lonely, run to the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you feel tempted to sin and you're lacking power and I just don't have the willpower and I don't have the strength to resist sin, run to the power of God. Isn't that what Peter was saying? According as his divine power has given unto us all things that belong to life and godliness. Divine power given us all things to life and godliness. Run in there. Don't wait. Run. When you are afraid of men, run in here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Run in there. You'll be safe. You'll be lifted up. When you're afraid of death, remember Job, he lost everything and death was before him as the only exit now. And he said, but I know. Did Job lose everything? No. He was in the strong tower. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet I know that in my flesh I will see God. Strong tower. He was lifted up. When you sin, run in here. If we confess our sin, faithful and just He is to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you are. As you head out into 2016, take this golden nugget with you. Take it, memorize it, repeat it to yourself later today. Repeat it, memorize it. Repeat it to yourself often. When you read the disturbing news reports, when you hear bad news, if you hear bad news from the doctor, repeat this, repeat it when you have decisions to make. Repeat it when you don't know what to do. Repeat it when Satan tempts and taunts. Repeat it often. Go here often. Run in and find a cordial welcome again. Rest in this safe haven, this impregnable fortress. Rest in here for time and rest in here as you gaze out onto the endless ages of eternity. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Amen.